It's a tough thing for the street to understand. I think it's tough for many folks to understand. Revenue to Sun is a lagging indicator of the adoption of our developer platforms.
This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. Jonathan Schwartz, the new CEO of Sun Microsystems, and he's barely been the chief of the company for 3 weeks, started Wednesday off at the 2006 Gartner Symposium IT Expo in San Francisco. This is the second part of three podcasts covering the keynote in which Schwartz was interviewed by Gartner analysts Paul McGuckin and Daryl Plummer. In this segment, Schwartz describes how Java, which does not directly build revenue for the company, helps Sun sell its other services and equipment.
The real issue that keeps coming up over and over again is how do you turn all of this into money? You hear it over and over and you're tired of answering the question, but it keeps getting asked for a reason.
It's a fair question.
It is a fair question. Yeah. And I wonder if you can just help us understand the business model and the consistent generation of revenue towards profitability that comes from the types of things you've just been talking about.
So I think the first thing you have to understand about our business model is that we have two fundamental constituents, okay? One constituent is represented kitty corner to this building. They're over at Java One, where we have about 20,000 folks in the buildings over there and probably another 100,000 online.
Now, how do you characterize those people as opposed to the people who would be here?
They're developers, and developers don't buy things, they join things. And if you want to understand what I mean, just go walk across the street. You'll get a sense of a social movement. You'll get a sense of a community. You'll get the sense of radical change, invention, creative destruction.
Are you saying those are characteristics that other IT types don't share?
I think there's some element that they share, but the reality is, you know, there's buyers and then there's developers. You all have money. Now, there are things that you respond to that developers don't, and vice versa, and I'll give you a great example. Developers love free. It's their favorite price. You all, when I say free, think free puppy. And so we've got to understand both sides if we expect to be able to drive the industry forward. And look, I'll give you a great example of the intersection, by the way, of developers and the enterprise. How many of your employees use Google? How many of you have employees that use Google? Go on, everyone,
not everyone.
Raise your hand. All right. Now, how many of you picked Google for your employees?
Should be about no one.
Now, isn't that interesting? And so it proves the point that there are changes going on in the developer community that do, in fact, have an impact on the architecture of the enterprise.
But then it is a bit scary, though, because there's 20,000 people over there who you've just said don't buy things, they join things.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get money from?
Well, my point is they are the best leading indicator of where revenue comes from, because where did Java first occur? Where was it first adopted? In the developer community. And now how many of you are running Java today in your enterprise? Almost all of you. So my only point is we've got to be exquisitely sensitive to that. Because let me give you a good example of what we were given a lot of free advice around a few years ago. You guys should cancel Solaris because the future is all open source. And we said, well, those are not in conflict. You know, we've had source code available. Most of you, frankly, probably have the source code to Solaris. It's been out for a while, but it was never under a license that was really blessed by developers. So let's go back and change the license. We did. We've distributed 5 million licenses. Now, if we look at some of our, you know, frankly, channel partners now, they don't have operating systems that run even on their own computers. So when you all are out selecting the operating system platforms on which you're going to run your enterprise, you're frankly, in my view, going to be picking from three. You're going to be picking Microsoft Windows, Red Hat Linux, or Sun Solaris. And we know that that has an impact on your purchasing trends.
The link we're trying to make is Java in the billion handsets that was discussed yesterday when you had Ed Zander on stage at the Java One conference. Okay, that's Java. So 5 million Solaris downloads running somewhere on somebody's computer. What's the thread that ties that arguable success into money for Sun to get you profitable and to continue funding development?
Yeah, I'll add to that just a bit. You said a billion handsets that are Java-enabled.
Yeah.
A billion, that's a B in front of the illion.
Yeah.
And I wonder, if there's that many handsets out there, how many more billion will it take before you see consistent profitability from it?
So first of all, I'm not going to be making forward-looking statements because that would, from the documents I just signed, put me in jail.
And, we wouldn't want that.
And no.
Be harder
and,
to do.
And I love you guys, but I don't love you that much. What we build, and I can only characterize, is we build modular infrastructure for the network. Now, what that means is we care about the standards, because if the standards divorce us from the market opportunity, so for example, if the whole world only runs Microsoft Windows, my ability to add value into the Windows environment is relatively small. I think most ISVs have figured that out. Microsoft does a wonderful job of monetizing Windows. And even the hardware companies that bet on Windows, you know, they have a hard time differentiating against one another on anything other than price, and that's not what we do for a living. So I'm going to do our best to support Windows, but I also want to deliver interoperability and innovation and all the things that generate margin and recurring opportunity. So when I look at the network, the demand for what Sun builds is an explicit derivative of the number of you and your employees and your friends and families that are online trying to do business with our core customers. And so I was just in Brazil as an example, and I was meeting with the president of Brazil, President Lula. And I said, you and we both would like to bridge the digital divide in Brazil. And he said, I appreciate the help, but why are you so interested in that? Because you don't make any money with consumers. And I said, I was just with the largest financial institution in Brazil, who said they had 20 million accounts, only 4 or 5 million were online. And when they go from 5 million online to 20 million online, you know who they're going to call? And he said, you. And I said, yeah. So we're in the rare position of being able to do good things in the world that also directly benefit our business. So what are 1 billion handsets worth to us? I'd argue today, billions of dollars of revenue to the telecommunications industry. What's it going to be when there's 10 billion? And instead of just sending little ASCII SMS messages, they're interacting with supply chains and propagating video and doing online monitoring of telemetry. You tell me. But to me, that's a good leading indicator of the future of our business.
Some substantial piece of that revenue will accrue to Sun.
Somebody asked me yesterday, what's the value of Java to Sun? And I gave them two responses. What's the value of a standard plug in the wall if you're in the generator business? And they said, okay, I understand that, but why do you invest so much money in Java then? And I said, because unlike GE, who's in the power turbine business, they don't have to worry about somebody plugging in a vacuum cleaner that won't allow their generator to be used. I've got to worry about clients and servers. But all that said, when you ask me what's the value of the internet to Sun, because Java is the internet, I say, well, you know, how much of our revenue can be attributed to the internet? How about all of it? You can't ask me to try to pick it apart.
Now, let me stop you a second. You just said Java is the internet. Expand on that just for a second.
Well, Java represents the notion that any device on the network will not simply be a passive device on the network. It will be an active participant. Because what do you do with that handset? Why is Ed Zander running Java on a handset? Because he wants his handset to do something. Not simply make a call, but interact with businesses, create social applications, connect to society. So that's going to be true of every device on the network. It's your dashboard, an ATM machine, a PC, a set-top box, a Blu-ray device. Those are all now Java devices, and they're increasingly driving demand for modular infrastructure. So our business is, you know, and again, this is, it's a tough thing for the street to understand. I think it's tough for many folks to understand. Revenue to Sun is a lagging indicator of the adoption of our developer platforms. So I must be focused on the next wave of developers because, frankly, they will define for you the economics of your data center.
Is it fair to ask you how far it lags, or do you go to jail if you answer that one, too?
Let me be perfectly clear about this. It's a fair question, Paul.
Is it like a year, 2 years, 5 years?
The day you adopt Java, Sun's relevant to you. And now we were talking backstage. What's that worth to Sun? What would I pay to have somebody adopt Java as opposed to have them do it of their own volition? It's worth something. So it all depends on how well we serve them, you know, but I can't tie them, you know, just because you download Java, the day I tie Java to Sun and exclusively to Sun, as opposed to Oracle, BEA, SAP, IBM, the day I do that is the day that Java loses its value.
Right. But this is where I lose the thread, you know, the Gossamer thread, because you just said that the day you adopt Java, Sun's relevant to you. Mm-hmm. How much would you pay for that relevance? I'm still stuck with the question, how much will they pay you for that relevance? And also, in terms of what you said before about going to jail, to phrase the question in a way that may not put you in jail, when they come to write you a check around Java, what are they going to write you a check for?
If you're in the search business today, you're going to put up a portal and consumers are going to come to you to get to search. Now, I presume there's no company in this hall that is in the business of producing search software, because the gig is up. It's over. Yahoo, Google, Overture, they have all defined the search platforms. So probably you're not going to make a whole lot of money on search. Frankly, the fact that you all are paying for Microsoft Office when there's free alternatives, which are just storming, you know, developing nations around the world, suggests that the economics of software on desktops are on their way down. They're becoming service platforms. And I think you'd have a hard time arguing that that consumerization of the technology platform is really disrupting fundamental economics. So the same thing is applying to operating systems. Why would you pay for an operating system when you could pick up a free operating system? Same thing for app servers. Same thing for, you know, in general, all middleware. Same thing can't be true for hardware, because hardware has inherent cost. So the issue isn't, you know, how much is a consumer going to pay us for Java? The issue is, how much is an enterprise going to pay us for the support of the infrastructure they're going to use to run their business? And how much are they going to pay me? It depends on how big they are. It depends on whether they believe, for example, that the network is their future. There's basically, we were talking earlier this morning, there's basically, you know, a division in this room between those companies for which IT is a competitive weapon versus those for which IT is the competitive weapon. Our customer base, by and large, is that latter camp. It's the telecommunications companies, financial services companies, oil and energy companies, next generation media companies, internet service companies, as opposed to you're in the business of, you know, managing dentist office and shopping malls, you're a flower store, you're a dress store. Sorry, you should be using the services that are available to you online. So as a simple example, one of my favorite customers is just down the road here. It's called Salesforce.com. They are totally redefining the economics of CRM. Now, if you're a large enterprise and you've already deployed a complex CRM application, you're probably saying, my God, that was so expensive, it was so complex. I wish I could get to Salesforce.com. We agree. We wish you would go to Salesforce.com too, because we do an awful lot of business with them.
So let's focus on the target audience that you see as your audience for whom IT is the differentiator. Mm-hmm. Not all of those companies are Sun customers today. Some of them were Sun customers, used to buy a lot of Sun equipment, and they drifted away and, mm-hmm. and spent more money on Linux. Perhaps they got gobbled up by IBM in terms of the hearts and minds. What are you doing today to attract those customers back, or to attract customers for the first time? Because I think if we had a show of hands in the audience, I think you would find a substantial portion of the audience is not a Sun customer today.
How many of you use Java? I'm sorry, you've just made my point. So okay. The point is that is a leading indicator of the relationship we can strike with a customer.
But that's not the only answer to the question I was asking.
Paul, I know what you're trying to get at. The world's not so black and white. As soon as you're on the network, I can be more relevant to you. As soon as you're using Java, I can certainly be more relevant with the next generation of NetBeans or service-oriented architectures or CBeyond. It's all, there's no such thing as, you know, I walk in and this is the definitive one customer, you know.
Okay, so let me phrase the question differently. If I'm in the audience and I'm not a Sun hardware customer today, I don't run Solaris in my organization today.
And you don't run Java?
I run Java, but I run it somewhere else. I'm buying my hardware from somebody else.
And I'm buying my software from someone else.
Is there anything that Sun is doing now that should be particularly attractive and interesting?
Absolutely.
And want to make me come and take a second look or a first look?
Absolutely.
At Sun?
So,
what are the top three things?
I think first and foremost, we're continuing to define the forefront of developer productivity. If you look at the evolution of Java EE5, we have the most compliant tools, the most compliant infrastructure. If you look at the numbers that you all have been citing and that we certainly see online, the growth and adoption of Sun's core middleware has actually outpaced the market significantly. So first and foremost, if you're looking for a neutral party as opposed to one who's stitched into your existing ERP applications, if you're looking for a neutral party to provide secure, flexible, and reasonably priced middleware, we can clearly deliver that to you. Secondly, even if you're not running Java, if you're running Microsoft Windows today and you would like to have a better performing x64 platform that is more space efficient and more power efficient and just delivers more throughput, we can deliver that to you today. If you're running Linux today, we just alluded yesterday to the fact that we'll have Linux running on Niagara very shortly. like within the next week or so. It means we can touch customers from where they are today and bring them back into the Sun fold. So first and foremost, we can deliver better developer experience. And by the way I've seen enterprises think, they think with developers first. They tend not to
Those who are still developing their own code.
Right, but I think if you're not developing your own code, then you fall into the camp of IT is not a competitive weapon, in which case you're probably better served by a network operator or a service operator than you are by Sun. Let's just be frank about that. I don't have much to offer a company that isn't going to view IT as a competitive weapon. They should be buying from companies that can just continue to take price down into the ground, and they should be having laptops with no infrastructure.
So it's developer tools, Opteron boxes, and Linux on the T2000. Are you sure you want to make that your third?
No.
Because you already have Linux on Opteron boxes.
So
it's very popular.
Developer productivity first and foremost. Secondly, operating system consolidation. So everybody's got cats and dogs. Every large enterprise has cats and dogs. They kind of have one of everything. We can deliver a Solaris operating system that is not only indemnified, but runs on every major hardware platform out there and delivers the scalability and connection back into a global sales and service organization that I think has actually done a remarkably effective job of assisting customers, the largest customers in the world, 911 systems or telecommunications or banks. And then thirdly, we can deliver the systems infrastructure, both Opteron and Niagara, which will be the foundation of our storage as well as our computing systems platforms that continue to redefine the economics of running a data center. So if there were two things that I would tell a customer that we could offer to them right now, first and foremost, we can enhance the productivity of their developers. And secondly, we can enhance the productivity and efficiency of their data centers. Do I think we're unique in that regard? I do, because we have technologies and innovation that differentiate us from those that simply want to say we have a clever brand or we just dropped our prices by 50%.
What are the proof points that show that this is actually working though? I mean, who would you point to as a customer or an area, region of the world?
General Electric, American Express, Federal Express, eBay, Salesforce.com. To me, those are reasonably good names and they're all running our hardware and our software. And for developers, they don't have names that you would recognize, but I invite you to walk across the street and go visit 20,000 of our closest friends. Because I think, again, we've seen a tremendous upsurge in the adoption of our core developer platforms. You know, I was standing on stage yesterday with, Mark Fleury from JBoss, who was giving an endorsement to NetBeans. NetBeans has clearly risen from the developer productivity perspective, frankly, from the ashes to, you know, getting a whole lot of adoption. And again, how does that tie back into the opportunity? When you build an application using NetBeans, it's going to deploy somewhere. I can't lock you to Sun, because as soon as I do, NetBeans is no longer appealing.
Well, that gets us back to the question of who's going to write a check to you as opposed to writing it to IBM or to Red Hat or someone else.
But, you know, that's the great beauty of competition, Daryl, because there's only one company in the marketplace that has the luxury of saying, because you picked my tools, you can only buy my infrastructure. So the good news is the customers in the audience, if they pick Java, they can pick from JBoss, Sun's App Server, BEA,
But I'm more
IBM.
Worried about those people who are saying, we're going to pick your underlying technologies, but not by your tools infrastructure.
How many of you would prefer it if Sun locked our tools to our infrastructure? I don't see.
But that's not where it goes. And we're not suggesting you lock the Sun lock to Sun's infrastructure. I'm just saying that there's a problem with translating the innovation that comes from Sun, like Java, into people writing checks for your infrastructure. Even though there's a growth in your software, It still doesn't put it at the leadership position.